Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 217 all the stanzas. Remember not, O God, the sins of long ago. In tender mercy visit us, distressed and humbled low. Psalter 217, stanzas 1 through 4. Scripture reading for this afternoon hour can be found in the Epistle of Paul to the Ephesians, the first chapter. Ephesians chapter 1, but first we will make confession with the 12 articles of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Ephesians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure which he hath proposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So far, the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty, all-knowing, and also all-decreeing God, as we have read it out of thy holy word, and thy servant of old, inspired by thy Holy Spirit, to look back even into the eternal beginnings, a non-beginning, when he may speak of that predestination according to thy holy will, a people who are chosen in thy dear Son unto thyself, that they might show forth the praise of thy glory, O Lord, that thou may include us, each and every one, for great power thou dost have. O thou didst have it already, when thou wast here in the state of thy humiliation, when it was so hidden yet behind the veil of thy humanity, how that thou yet did shine through with thy eternal and the greatness of thy power, to give sight to the blind, to make the lame to walk, to cleanse the lepers, and even to say, come forth from the dead, so that man he was without excuse. But thy power, oh, we have read it and heard it also in this morning hour, that has been so increased when thou wast exalted at the right hand of power. O Lord, power is what we need. We want to feel it. We want it in our hearts this day. It is thy holy day. And we with our children, oh, we are dead in sins and in trespasses by nature. And we do not have that power to raise ourselves from the dead. And we do not have that power to grant unto ourselves a new life, hungering and thirsting after thee, panting after thee, as the hart panteth for the water brooks. Oh, for this life is necessary, for this power is necessary. Oh, could we feel it also? And when thou, who dost sit upon that white horse, Thou who dost go forth conquering and to conquer, whose power is almighty. Oh, what is our death then to thee? What is our spiritual sickness? What is our spiritual disease unto thee? Thou art able but to speak the word, and thou art able to shoot forth those arrows that are in thy bow into our hearts this day. Lord, we beseech it of thee. Give us to feel it, and give us to know it. Give us to experience it, young and old, and that our religion would not be but a form and a custom all our life long, and that we would die after coming and going from the place of the holy, even as the wicked, to be laid in our graves, and to appear before thee on that last day, only to give an awful account of all the blessings and mercies that have come unto us. Oh, then to be cast away and to receive the lowest place in that eternal, infernal pit. Oh, that thou may look upon us in thy mercy and give us to know and to feel, and that thou dost live and are sitting at the right hand of thy Father. Oh, give us to know and to feel and to experience, each one of us, that a resurrection from the dead, that thou art but the first fruits. Oh, that there will be also a church that is following thee, and that in thee a day also shall be risen from their spiritual deadness, seeking all the things that are in the time, seeking the earth and the world. Oh, so carnal, as so of the earth, earthy, and not seeing past the end of our own hands. Oh, that we cannot look even into the near future, when thou dost declare that punishment upon man for his sin, that each and every one of us must die, and we must appear before thee in the judgment, but we put it away. Oh, we cannot look unto it. We do act as if that we shall live here forever. Oh, Lord, we need to be born again. We need new hearts, both young and old. Then it will become different, and then we shall be raised up to magnify and to glorify thy greatness and thy glory and thy grace, which is as wide as the ocean. Oh, we beseech it of thee on this thy holy day. We cannot be together as a congregation, but Lord, do show us that thou dost stand above all the circumstances, for thou hast helped us in the weeks that are gone by. Oh, we beseech thee for thy help once again in this afternoon hour, and that it may not stand as a hindrance to us, what does not stand as a hindrance to thee, and that thou may give that in the places where each and every one of us are with our loved ones, and that we may be gathered in truth and in spirit around thy holy word, and that thy spirit may rest upon us for a blessing which is so undeserved from our side. Lord, we confess our iniquity and our sin, and we confess our hard-heartedness, and we confess that thou dost not live and dwell in our hearts and in our minds as it ought to be, and we do not magnify thee as we ought, and we follow the ways of our first father Adam. O Lord, we confess it all to thee. We do not feel it as we ought to feel it. Oh, we do not smite upon our breast as we ought to smite upon our breast. We do not chastise ourselves sufficiently. Lord, thou knowest that we are so unfeeling of ourselves, so hard-hearted, but could it please thee? For with thee lies all the blessings, and in thee lies all the reason and the cause for the blessings. Do it then for thy name's sake. Come unto us and unto our children. Come unto thy dear children, thy own people, those who are distraught, those who do feel how helpless, how wicked, how wretched that they are.
without God in this world. Oh, that thou may open their eyes to see something of the blessedness and the riches of thy dear church. And could it please thee to include those who have to exclude themselves because of their own sinful heart. Oh, that thou may remember each and every one. Lead and teach thy people. Lead and instruct us also as thy servant into those blessed mysteries. Oh, that thou wouldst pour upon us that spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him who does sit at the right hand of God, and the eyes of our understanding being opened, that we might see and that we might believe, and that we might bring forth those things new and old out of thy law. Do bless those that are in standing in need of help from above in the times in which we are living. Lord, thou knowest where that they are, the many afflicted and sick ones in this world, those that do fear that they have to die, those that are lying upon deathbeds. O Lord, wilt thou be near unto them, and wilt thou hear their cry, and wilt thou save their souls when death draws nigh? And teach us also as nations of this world to turn again to thy law and to thy testimonies. Leave us not through the judgments to be hardened thereunder, that we would only return to greater ways of sin and of mocking, but wilt thou draw us unto thyself in thy mercy. Be with all those that mourn in these days. Their number also is multiplied, be on their right and on their left hands in thy mercy, and wilt thou look upon all that must make decisions. And also when we have heard that we will not be able to gather for some months yet ahead, O Lord, that thou may look on us in thy mercy, and that thou would stay the plague, that we may come together once again in thy time, for the time is long. O, that thou may remember us 70 years, and thou didst put thy people away into bondage, and we are deserving, and that thou wouldst also do the same unto us. But we beseech thee in thy mercy to look upon us and to deal with us in and through him who is the son of thy good pleasure. Oh, that we may be viewed through him, through the perfection of all of his attributes, and that thou may bless us indeed. Remember us then in thy mercy. Care for the mothers in their homes, and the teachers once again, and the students in this week when school labors will begin once more. Lord, thou knowest all the weight and the burden that it can be, as some having many children at home. Lord, thou knowest all their needs. We'll try to lay them before thee. And thou didst say that thou wouldst be a help unto the mothers and unto the fathers in the bringing up of their children. Lord, then they need it so, especially at this time, because that burden that can be so heavy and that they feel to sink under it. Lord, that thou may help them, and that thou may give courage from above, that thou may give strength for the day, and that thou may give a place at thy footstool, and that they may lay all their needs before thee, and that they may experience day by day that thou livest, and that thou art near, and that thou art faithful to thy word of promise. And grant those that have difficulties in learning also to have a place at the footstool of that great teacher who is able to give understanding in a moment also for the things of the time, and that our children and our young people also in the days of their youth and may be given to know that thou art alive and that thou dost reign over all things, and that thou dost also condescend to the needy here upon this world. Strengthen the teachers and all those that labor in the school and all over the length and breadth of this world, those that are laboring so, and also thy servants. Help us too in this afternoon. Strengthen us in mind and body. Oh, give unto us a measure of thy Holy Spirit. Lord, thou knowest that we forfeit it each and every day again. Oh, then there is nothing from our side for which thou art able to hear us. But oh, that thou may do it for thy name's sake. Do it for thy people's sake. Do it for the instruction of the needy and for the salvation of the souls of the needy. We ask it in the forgiveness of all our sin for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us now sing from Psalter 110 all the stanzas. Thy tender mercies, O my Lord, withhold not, I implore, but let thy kindness and thy truth preserve me evermore. All the stanzas of Psalter 110.
Congregation, the words of our text for this afternoon hour can be found in the portion that was read to you, Ephesians 1, and thereof the last several words of the sixth verse. Ephesians 1, verse 6, just the last part, these words, accepted in the Beloved. So far, the words of our text, accepted in the Beloved. First, the significance of acceptance. And second, the manner of acceptance. So, acceptance in the Beloved. First, the significance. And second, the manner of acceptance. How much anxiety lay in the heart of Esther as Esther prepared to approach unto King Ahasuerus uncalled. She requested fasting and prayers from every single one of the Jews that were in that province. She feared. What did she fear? You say she feared that she would not be accepted. She feared that the king would refuse to hold out to her the golden scepter. And she knew that there was but one law of his that was to be put to death if she was not accepted by the king. Acceptance, that is a very great matter. You know that too, children, right? You go to school, and it is a very great matter to you, a very important matter to you, that you are accepted. That you are accepted among the other children, your peers that are in school. There is a difference in the significance, the degree of the importance of acceptance. It is an awful thing. We hope all the children and young people that you realize that every day, that it is an awful thing to not be accepted. But that still does not carry the weight that we can imagine or that it did carry for Queen Esther, because for Queen Esther, that acceptance or that rejection that was not just a temporal thing, but it was a matter for her of life and death. Maybe you are downcast sometimes, young people, maybe now especially, because, well, there maybe are not so many jobs that are available and you make an application for a certain job. Or you make an application to the college or to the university, and you are dejected because you are not accepted. Oh, that is an important thing, but it does not carry the weight, the same weight, and that rejection would have carried for Queen Esther. Maybe. And you ask a certain boy or you ask a certain girl, and they would say to you, no, I would rather not. And then you are downcast, you are disheartened. Oh, that is important, but it is not all important. Oh, it does not carry that same weight as rejection would have carried for Queen Esther. How would it be for you if you had to die? How would it be for us if we would have to appear this day before the gates of heaven? And if there at that gate we would not be accepted. How would that be for us? Because the Lord Jesus spoke about that in a parable of the 10 virgins. 5, they were accepted. And 5, they were not accepted. That is not just a temporal matter. That is not just an earthly matter here for the time. But that is an eternal rejection, never to be overturned, world without end. Our text that says, accepted. How can Paul say that? You say, Paul, he has not come yet to the end of his life. Paul, he is not standing here before the gates of heaven. Well, is it your thought that God's children, they are first accepted when they come to the gates of heaven? That cannot be. Because the Lord, by his servant Isaiah, he said, in an acceptable time have I heard thee. Thus, Isaiah, he had to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. The Lord Jesus, also, we read that he also was anointed to preach, and that was the acceptable year of the Lord. So acceptance that takes place in the time. We are not accepted in the time, then we will not be accepted in eternity, because in eternity that is no longer the acceptable time. Thus we must ask that for ourselves. How is it with us? Are we also accepted? Or do we seldom have thoughts of this? Accepted. I think, young people, if you had made application to college or university and you had gotten a letter in the mail and you open it and your heart that is beating and you are full of apprehension, what shall it be? And then you may see when you open it that you are accepted. Ah, then you will rejoice naturally. Then you will say to mother, Mother, I have been accepted. And when father comes home, and then you will say, I have been accepted. Oh, but are any of you waiting? Are any of you filled with apprehension concerning that acceptance that the Apostle Paul is here speaking of an acceptance that is so far greater than the acceptance that we can receive here in this world? What kind of acceptance is that? Oh, it is also an acceptance into a school. It is the acceptance into the school of free and sovereign grace. Do you know who shall be your teacher then? Then you shall have for a teacher wisdom itself. Then you shall have for a teacher, when you are accepted into that school, you shall have for a teacher the greatest prophet and teacher that has ever lived, that is able to give you temporal lessons, and is able to give you spiritual lessons. Or maybe there are some young boys, you say, I want to go into the military. Oh, we need people to fight for our nation. That is true. But that is not such a good place for us to be so often, sadly. But here is now a military. Or if you will be accepted in it, then you will certainly be wounded And you will certainly be wounded many times, but you will never perish. Because to be accepted in this military, that is to have already the victory over every one of your enemies, and they are the same as the enemies of the Lord. Do you know what that is, children? That is to have the victory over sin. Oh, does sin bother you? Does sin trouble you? Do you know what kind of an acceptance this is? This is an acceptance. We have read it together. We have read that it is an acceptance into a family. Family? Yes, it is an acceptance into the family of God. What does the Apostle Paul say? He says it is an adoption of children, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children. Do you know who then is your father, boys and girls? No, you do not lose your father on the earth. But your father on the earth, he cannot give to you what this father can give you. Oh, then it is God himself who becomes your father. Oh, can you imagine that? You say, my father is strong. But your father will tell you he is not so strong. Oh, you say, my father is wise. Ah, your father will say, no, I am not so wise. But now to receive the adoption of children, oh, to be accepted in that family, where every one of them are made into sons and daughters of God. Oh, to become and to receive the church as your mother and God as your father. Accepted. Is that not a precious matter? And yet, it is not limited even to those things that we have just so far described. No, there is more in it, because that word, accepted, is used also in another place in the Bible. Children, you will know of this place because you know much about the story of Christmas. You know that the angel of the Lord has appeared to that Virgin Mary. And then he said to her, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Now in our Bible it says, highly favored. But in the original, in the Greek Bible, and then it says that same word as is in our text. It is accepted. Thus, the word accepted, that is the same as to be highly favored. Those are the same word. And why did that angel say, thou art highly favored? Well, he says, because the Lord is with thee. Thus the Lord is for thee. The Lord, he is on thy side. The face of the Lord is toward thee. The friendly countenance of the Lord. The Lord, he is kindly disposed toward thee. Oh, the Lord blesses thee. The Lord approves of thee. And the Lord smiles upon thee. The Lord, he gives thee to prosper. Accepted, highly favored by whom? Highly favored, oh, you say, if I was highly favored by the great men in this earth, the men who have power, and then the power of their station and their calling, that is on my side, that is right. Oh, this is to be highly favored by the king over Ahasuerus, that is the king of kings. The Lord of lords holds out his golden scepter toward thee, accept it. No, he is not angry with thee,
for approaching unto him, and for standing in the entrance, and for asking for acceptance, if thou mayest come in. But he holds out that golden scepter, accepted. He says to thee, what wilt thou? What is thy request? It shall be given thee, even to the half of the kingdom. Accepted, congregation. Oh, the Emmaus travelers, we read, they are traveling and their hearts, they are burning within them. And why? Oh, they hear the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, does your heart now burn also within you when you may hear the word of God, when you hear what it means to be accepted, because that new heart, oh, that is longing for the favor of God. It is longing to see his kindly face. It is longing to hear his friendly voice, to feel his approval, his approbation. It is longing to be accepted. Or the favor of the world, what does that mean to you? What does that mean to us? Because the favor of man, and that means much to people in this world, but the favor of the Lord, that means everything to God's people. What did David say? He says, in his favor is life. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning. Why? Oh, how excellent is thy loving kindness. Thy loving kindness that is more than life. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. For who in the heavens can be compared unto the Lord? And who among the sons of the mighty and may be compared or likened unto the Lord? Accepted by the Lord, accepted by the Almighty God of heaven and of earth. Oh, what is there to be compared to see his friendly countenance and to hear his friendly voice and to receive his approval and his blessed communion? Oh, do you feel also that desire in your heart for that favor and for that acceptance? Then you will say, how can I receive it? That is our second thought. The manner of this acceptance. We will go back a moment again. Young people, if you want to be accepted to university or college or maybe a certain job, then you are going to need certain qualifications. If you want to go to college, then you will have to have certain grades in school. Or a certain job, maybe they say you have to be very strong. If you will work here on the sanctuary, then I see those boys, they climb right up to the top of the building. Well, then you had better be able to handle heights. Qualifications for these careers, for these jobs. But that is not necessarily so concerning favor. How do you receive, boys and girls, favor from your mother or from your father? What do they require of you? Do they require of you certain qualifications? Do they say you have to be so smart, otherwise you do not have my favor? Well, we sure hope not. Do they say you must be so strong, otherwise you have not my favor? I do not think so. But there is one thing, that if you want to have their favor, then you have to be what? You will say, then we have to be obedient. That is right. That is the way that it was also even with the Lord. The Lord made us before the fall, made us very, very good. And then there were different strengths, different gifts that the Lord has made man with, also from the beginning,
the man and the woman, they are not the same as they want to make themselves out to be in our days. That is not the way the Lord has created them. And they were given different gifts, different abilities. But wherein lay the favor of the Lord? Favor of the Lord that lay in their obedience. The Lord said, "Do this, and thou shalt live. But if you do not do this, then thou shalt die." And after the fall, what did the Lord say to Cain? The Lord said, "If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? But if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door." Oh, there can be only so much disobedience, young people. Oh, then your parents, they will not thrust you out immediately. I think not. But there is a limit. And when you will not be obedient, and then there is going to be a time that your father is going to take you to the door to say, "Son, daughter, there are here rules in this house. And if you cannot obey the rules in this house, then you will have to leave." And with tears in his heart and in his eyes, then he will send you away. Obedience. Oh, how is it? Do you desire, young people, the favor of your father, the favor of your mother, whom the Lord has set over you? But do you desire also the favor of the Lord? We cannot receive the favor of the Lord without obedience. Psalmist, he says, "The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him." And so that principle of obedience that is planted in the heart of every newborn soul, was it ever planted in your heart? David, he says, "I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way." That was the man after God's own heart. He said, "When wilt thou come unto me?" Oh, that was his desire, that the Lord would come unto him. And in order that the Lord would come unto him, then he would not sin. No, he says, "I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes." Oh, because he felt, because he knew that sin that is a displeasure unto the Lord, that disobedience, and he cannot expect that the Lord would come unto him if he is walking in a disobedient way. Oh, how easily are we able to trample upon the law of the Lord? That is not the case. Even the Lord has given to you a new heart. No. And Joseph, he said, "How shall I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" Oh, Solomon, he says, "By the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil." And why? Why do they depart from evil? No, not just when father and mother are looking, children, but because the Lord sees me and because I desire the favor of the Lord. That is why. Job, he was a perfect and an upright man, a man that feared God, a man that eschewed evil. No, he was not a man that was sinless. There is no man upon the earth that did not sin. But the favor of the Lord that rested upon the obedience of Job, the Lord, he is pleased with that. You say the Lord, he tried Job as no other man. Ah, that is true. But Job, he was brought through it too, wasn't he? Is that not the greatest wonder? Or would you be brought through it? That temptation. When the Lord, he is coming against you, it seems. And when your wife would say, "Curse God and die." And when the boils, they would be all over your body in great pain. And the Lord had taken away all your... And so on. Will you come through it? No. The Lord, He upheld Job. Oh, the acceptance of the Lord that is grounded in obedience. That alone procures the favor of the Lord. And disobedience that is procuring the disfavor of the Lord. David says the Lord, He is angry with the wicked every day. He was angry at Balaam. Say, but Balaam did what the Lord told. He did outwardly, yes. He did not do it inwardly. No, Balaam was a wicked man. He had to do what the Lord forced him to do it because he did not have it in his heart to follow the Lord. Oh, does the Lord have to force us to? David, he says, the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. They do not receive His favor. They do not receive His acceptance. But the Lord, He loveth the righteous. Let us sing. Psalter 25. Psalter 25, all the stanzas. Lord, who shall come to Thee and stand before Thy face? Who shall abide a welcome guest within Thy holy place? The man of upright life, sincere in word and deed, who slanders neither friend nor foe, nor idle tales will heed. All the stanzas of Psalter 25. Thank you. acceptance? Do we desire acceptance? Do we desire the acceptance of the Lord? Or do we never think about this acceptance? It is the chief object, the chief pursuit of that new life. Therefore, they are brought to love, desire, to practice obedience. You also, did you ever lose that obedience? Did you ever lose your own obedience as a ground of your acceptance? Because this is also necessary. What does our text say? It says, accepted in the beloved. Who is the beloved? What do we read? We read that the Father, he says, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Or are you also well pleased in him? The rich young ruler was not well pleased in him. And why not? Because that young man had never lost his own obedience as the ground of his acceptance. Before his conversion, Saul, Pharisee, Saul of Tarsus, he also was not well pleased in him. And why not? Because he had never lost his own obedience as the ground of his acceptance. Oh, thus we ask you that question. Did you ever lose your own obedience as the ground of your acceptance? Immediately after the fall, the Lord declared the obedience of the church to be insufficient for their acceptance. Said it is not enough anymore. And why not? Because all their righteousnesses, all their obedience, they had become through the fall as filthy rags. And for 4,000 years, the Lord has declared the Son and promised the Son and that he would send him to bring in a new obedience, an obedience that would be sufficient for the church to be accepted by God. And it is in the resurrection of Christ that the Father, he has declared this obedience to be accepted. Gave him life. That was the reward. Accepted in the beloved. Oh, Saul. Saul of Tarsus was a religious man. Saul of Tarsus was a Pharisee. He could say, herein do I exercise myself to have a conscience void of offense always before God and before men. Can you say that too? A conscience void of offense. That was an obedient man to the law of God. But do you know what he did not see? He did not see any imperfection in his obedience. How is that with us? Because we are religious people too, I think. Do we see any imperfection in our obedience? The Lord had to teach that to Saul. You know where he taught that to him, right? children. Yes, that was on the way to Damascus when he thought he was doing the Lord a good deed to put to death the followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul, he writes about it later. And then he says it was in that place that the law came. Sin revived, and I died. Oh? Did Saul die? Oh, you say, no, not temporally. What does that mean? He says, and I died. Do you know what that means? That means in that moment that he lost the ground of acceptance out of all his own obedience. It was finished. It was in that moment that all his righteousnesses, which were so clean and white in his own eyes, they became as filthy rags, and then a man is lost. And then a man with all his goodness and all his religion, he cannot stand before a holy and a righteous God. Accepted in the Beloved. You can hear that our whole life. But if the Lord opens it up to a man as such as Saul of Tarsus had become, then it becomes a great wonder. Why? David, he said, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. Yeah, that fear him. They are those who love him, who walk according to his commandments. They fear him. Secret of the Lord is with those who fear him. And then he says, he will show them his covenant. What covenant is that? You know what that covenant is? That is our text. Accepted in the Beloved. That is now the secret that is hidden from the worldling, from the professor. That is now the secret that is shown unto them that fear him. When the foundation of their acceptance is dropping out from under them, namely their own obedience, or they have nothing to stand on anymore, does the Lord then let them drop into that abyss of hell? Oh, no, he does not. Oh, the Lord, he has something underneath that people. When that foundation of their obedience is dropping through, and when there is nothing anymore that can be based on their own obedience, oh, then the Lord, then he is grounding them, and he is founding them upon an obedience that is sufficient for them, that they may be accepted. And it is now faith that appropriates this to their own soul. How? That is through that word of promise. It is directed unto such as that people now find themselves to be. But to him, the apostle says, that worketh not. Ah, he worketh not. What does that mean? Does he not try anymore? Oh, sure he tries. Does he not want to live anymore according to that word? Of course he does. But he worketh not. That means that foundation of his own work that is now fallen through. And now it is to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Oh, that man says, it is for whom? It is for him that worketh not. It is for him that is ungodly. Oh, and then his eyes do go open. And then he sees, and then he has to believe. Why? Because his name that is written there in the Bible, where it says, look, it says there, he justifies the ungodly. What is Paul right here? He says, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Oh, how glorious the grace of Christ is appearing to such a soul. The unmerited favor accepted in the beloved. Oh, how gloriously perfect. The obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ does become unto that soul in that day so perfect that that holy and that righteous judge, oh, he was not able to find a single word, a single deed, a single thought, a single motive in his only begotten Son that should keep him in that prison of death. And so that he had to release him, he had to call him forth from that prison, and he had to give unto him that freedom, because in the sight of that holy and righteous God, oh, then he had committed not a single sin. It was so perfect that this whole world that is able to be accepted in him, in the beloved, oh, it was perfect in the obedience to the law. It was perfect in his obedience to his covenant, to his promise, what he has said unto his Father. It was a perfect active obedience. It was a perfect passive obedience. What smiles, oh, what precious smiles a disobedient soul does perceive in that day. Smiles from that holy and righteous God that is not able to endure or to live with sin. What favor and what blessing publicans and sinners they apprehend in that day. The friendly countenance of that holy and that righteous God. Then they enter a little into that secret of Solomon, when he says, I am black but comely, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, as the tents of Kedar, as the curtains of Solomon, accepted in the beloved. O congregation, people of the Lord, how often do you not stray from that foundation? And then it is to the loss of all your comfort. Why? Oh, you perceive the hardness, you perceive the coldness of your heart, and then you are discouraged. You perceive the worldliness and the carnality that lives within you, and you are ready to count yourselves with the worldling and with the reprobate. Oh, you perceive, you say, there is nothing in me. There is nothing in me that makes myself acceptable unto God, and your soul that is cast down. Oh, you say, I lack everything. I lack that heavenly mindedness. Oh, and then you are disheartened. You say, I'm nothing but barrenness and the incurability of my flesh, the inability to do good. And you are ready to despair. Oh, do you so quickly forget that you are accepted in the beloved? May faith never rise a little, that you may make use of him again. My Savior, neath thy sheltering wings, my soul delights to dwell. Still closer to thy side I press, for near thee all is well. Oh, does not your despondency and all your discouragement and all your downheartedness disappear? Oh, when your soul that may draw closer unto him,
Does not all the disobedience and all your guilt and all your transgression, that does not that get swallowed up in that perfect and blessed obedience of his beloved Son? Oh, then it is not only the Father who says, "It is my beloved," but then you also say it. Oh, then you say, "My beloved." And though you say, "Oh, I cannot claim that he is mine. I cannot claim that I am his." And yet, oh, yet you say with that bride, "My beloved is white and ruddy. He is the chiefest among 10,000. Accepted in the beloved." Oh, congregation, Bunyan's mercy. She saw Christiana. She saw her go through the gate. She watched her go through the gate. And she, when she was standing there, oh, then we read, she despaired. Oh, she swooned. She fell on the ground. Why? Oh, she thought, she has gone in. She has been accepted. And I am standing yet on the outside. And I now cannot be accepted, because she was called by that king, but I was not called by the king. And she feared that coming unto that gate, that was to presume. Oh, are there such mercies also among us? Oh, do you fear? Do you fear, you say, oh, I fear that I am not one of those who are truly called by the Lord. I fear that all my supplication, that is nothing but a presumption before him. And then I see this one go in, and I see that one go in, and I see and I hear them, and they rejoice before the Lord, and they tell what the Lord he has done unto their soul. And I am left behind. Oh, and when Christiana, as she is speaking, she is interceding for her friend, who is yet standing outside of that gate, then we can read that she is startled a moment. Why? Because there is a loud knock upon that gate. Oh, do you understand it? Knock at that gate. Oh, knock at that gate. Why? The Lord, he says, for everyone, everyone that asketh, he receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Why? Oh, and then you need bring nothing except it in the beloved. In the beloved. Perhaps you say, Paul speaks here about the elect. And it is true. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Oh, you see, that is now for the people of the Lord. Maybe you say, young people, I can then seek my whole life. If I am not elect, it will all be of no use. Is that so? I have a question for you. Rahab. You know the story. Rahab. Did Rahab know that she would be accepted? She desired it. But she had no assurance of it. And while she had no assurance of it, she had hid those spies. She hid those spies. She hid them at the peril of her life. She was still standing on the side of that enemy physically. But in her soul, she was on the other side. I have a question for you. Ruth, did she know that she would be accepted? She desired it, but she had no assurances of it. It was just the opposite. Just the opposite. On her ears, there came what she said that was a tempting voice. When her mother-in-law said to her, go back. Because there are no more sons in my womb, that they should be your husbands. And if she should marry again, would she now wait for them till they were grown? Go back. No assurances. Seemed like only discouragements. But she didn't need an assurance. Why not? Because there was a desire that she would be accepted. And that desire, that was sufficient. Otter was sufficient to draw her. That she would leave everything behind. Her mother and her father and all the gods of her former life. And was she put to shame? That people are not put to shame. No, she was accepted so kindly by Boaz. And so she was made one of that people. Accepted in the beloved. So was Manasseh. So was David. Slain Uriah with the sword and taken his wife to be his wife. So was Solomon after he had gone into all the idols of his thousand wives, cursing Peter, a thief. What a favor. What a favor. Hanging his whole life that is before him. And now he is hanging. And then to hear the friendly voice of the beloved. Today, with me in paradise. Accepted. Accepted in the beloved congregation. There is no sinner that is too great. The ground of acceptance that is not found in us. No, it is found in the beloved. Are you old? We don't have to be old. We hear it in the world in which we are living. And it comes closer and closer. The Lord protect us. We can also be young. But we have to die. Will we be accepted? Why not? Not because our sin is too great. Not because our sin is too great. There is a fountain.
there is a fountain open for sin and for uncleanness. Do you know why? That we will be rejected. I will tell you why. Because we do not want to sit with the publicans and the sinners. That is why. But that is where Jesus sits. Oh, not too sinful, but too righteous to be accepted in the Beloved. Oh, congregation, today. Today is the acceptable time. Today is the day of grace. There is a fountain that is open for sin and for uncleanness. And there is an obedience that the Father has testified of in the resurrection of His beloved Son, in whom He says, I am well pleased, and therefore there is acceptance in the Beloved. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, we have merited rejection. We have deserved it. Cast out of that garden. And we are not worthy of a place of acceptance with Thee. Oh, so that thief, he did confess to Thee. We indeed justly, we received the due reward of our deeds. But this man, he had done nothing amiss. Oh Lord, give us also acceptance in Him. Receive us in Him. Oh, glorify Thy grace, that we may experience how wide is the ocean that it is to the praise of the glory of Thy grace. Wilt Thou be with us further in this night and in this week that is to come? Give us meditation upon Thy word of truth. And if we have never in our life desired to be accepted by Thee, then give it for the first time. But give us also to know that acceptance for our own souls. Keep from danger and harm. Keep from evil and from sin. All those that labor on the sanctuary, wilt Thou remember fathers in their labors, and the economy also of this nation and of the world. O Lord, that Thou may supply whose are the cattle upon 1,000 hills, and give us not to be overly careful and anxious about these matters, but that in the first place we would seek the kingdom of God, and that we may experience that Thou addest all the rest unto us. Do forgive our many sins, and receive our thanks for Thy help once again in this hour. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 31, 2, and 3. To Thee, O Lord, I fly, and on Thy help depend. Thou art my Lord and King most high. Do Thou my soul defend. In all the stanzas of Psalter 30. Thank you. Receive now the blessing of the Lord. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.